welcome to the first 2022 edition of The Global Game, the official podcast of WBSC, the World Baseball Softball Confederation, talking all things international baseball and softball as we have hit a new year. My name is Tyler Mon. I am your host, and I cannot believe that it is 2022. We're sort of on the other side of the hump of the Northern Hemisphere winter headed into 2022. Okay, maybe not actually yet to this point, but we're getting there. But most importantly, a new year is here, and with a new year come 9 events on the international baseball and softball calendar, and we are so excited to get it rolling here in 2022. The World Games coming up in Birmingham, Alabama in the United States in July. Our first Baseball World Cup of the year coming up in July and August in Tainan in Taipei. Then the U-12 Mixed Softball World Cup following the U-12 Baseball World Cup. That one will be in Taichung in Taipei in the middle of August. U-15 Baseball World Cup is coming up. U-18 Baseball World Cup is coming up. U-23 Baseball World Cup is coming up. U-23 Men's Softball World Cup, the main Men's Softball World Cup, and of course the inaugural Baseball 5 World Cup is on the docket this year as well, as we are so excited for a packed year of international baseball and softball all around the globe. It's great to have you back for another edition of the podcast. It feels like it's been a while since we've been with you. It really hasn't been. It just has felt that way because we haven't had a ton of baseball and softball to watch or talk about as of late. But man, do we have a fun conversation for you today from one of the leagues that currently is playing a little bit of baseball around the globe. If you are a baseball fan, over the last 10-12 days or so, I'm recording this on January 18th of 2022, you have certainly heard the name Genevieve Beacom, an Australian pitcher who made her professional debut as the first woman to pitch in Australia's highest baseball league, the Australian Baseball League, which is now entering its second decade of existence. And Genevieve, 17 years old, went out and pitched for the Melbourne Aces in her hometown in the Australian state of Victoria. And at 17, she threw a scoreless inning on, you guessed it, 17 pitches. She gave up some weak contact. She worked around some traffic on the base paths, and she made history as the first woman to crack the ranks of the ABL. And not only crack the ranks of the ABL, but looked very good on the mound with a fastball that touched the mid-80s, a very good breaking ball, and a continually developing repertoire of stuff as she gets to a stage in her baseball career that really feels like a jumping-off point. And it is such an exciting time, not only for Australian baseball and the international game, but obviously women in baseball and for young athletes who see pathways and doorways opening to them that maybe were not available for past generations. And for a story like Genevieve Beacom, I feel so thrilled to get a chance to bring a little bit of that to you. If you are hoping to find the cliche conversation of how'd you get into baseball and why not softball and all of that, we're not going to do a lot of discussion of that. There are a lot of journalists and a lot of outlets who have done that story. Genevieve grew up a baseball fan. She grew up going to her brother's games. She loved the game of baseball, started to play it at a very young age. She tried softball at one point, didn't take to it, and went back to baseball. And that is the game that she has loved and the game that she is pursuing. And now she is making a real go at 17 years old of starting a career, whether that's at the university, the collegiate level in the United States, or starting to pursue professional avenues. There is a very bright future ahead for Genevieve Beacom. She was so cool and so kind to take some time out of her day today, along with her manager, longtime major leaguer Peter Moylan, who is now the manager of the Melbourne Aces back in his native Australia. Those two sat down and spent a half hour of their day with me a little while ago, just prior to training on the 19th of January, Wednesday. The internet and Zoom and Skype and all those things are really pretty incredible. But we got a chance in the middle of the night over here in the United States where I'm recording to record a middle-of-the-afternoon Wednesday interview over in Australia as the Aces were getting set for a training session at their ballpark in Altona, Victoria, Australia. And it was just so great to get a chance to talk with Peter Moylan and with Genevieve Beacom. And for Genevieve, this, as I will note in this interview, this is far from her first media request of the last 2 weeks. She has been inundated. She has been all over, not just the baseball internet, but the internet. She's been covered in news articles from her native Australia to the United Kingdom, Europe, the United States, Taiwan, Japan, everywhere. And she has been the talk of the baseball world. And when I opened our interview by saying that, she immediately got, I think, pretty embarrassed by that. And it was very neat to see an athlete who is still so incredibly humble. And as she says in an early answer, you know, I go to bed at night. I'm still the same 17-year-old that I was a month ago. She is a very impressive young pitcher who's got a really bright future ahead of her. And we could not be more excited to get her on the podcast. Genevieve Beacom, alongside her Melbourne Aces manager, Peter Moylan, joined this month's edition of the Global Game Podcast. Well, it is a miserably cold winter for a lot of us here in the Northern Hemisphere, which is why we like taking trips via the magic of the internet to summers in the Southern Hemisphere. And in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, we find maybe the most discussed person on the planet when it comes to baseball over the last couple of weeks, which I'm sure feels very weird to hear when you are 17 years old. But Genevieve Beacom joins the show alongside her Melbourne Aces manager, Peter Moylan, from the ballpark. Are you two in Altona? You got training coming up tonight?
Yeah, we have training tonight, so you know, already out here
just prepping. We're just mentally preparing for the we start in 2 hours, so we've got a little bit, but we've got lots of options for early work out here too, so guys will roll in from about now till 6 o'clock, and we'll get started around 6.
It is the middle of the night here. Not exactly. It's 10 p.m. where I am. And you guys are in the middle of a very interesting and sort of weird situation. There is no official ABL season this year. The Australian Baseball League canceled the season in light of the pandemic and all of that. But with some things, hopefully, you know, turning a corner and starting to get a little bit better, there's been, in effect, some barnstorming competition between, you know, I know Canberra and Sydney have played. You guys have played Adelaide. There's been a little bit of, all right, let's at least get out and play some this summer.
Exactly.
That seems like it's probably been strange, but how is it to just been able to play a little bit of baseball as of late?
For me, it's also to be able to come back here. And, you know, we had a crazy shortened season last year. We had the finals were supposed to go 3 games. And then the day of the first game, they basically said, look, guys, we got to get this thing done. So we played a 1-game series, which was cool. But then, you know, they canceled the season. So I was a bit devastated as my first year as manager. But then I came out here, Ralphie and the guys in the front office were able to put together a couple of series for us. And obviously last weekend was pretty big for certain someone. But it was just great to get baseball on the field at Altona, honestly. It was so good to see baseball. And the turnout was great. We had awesome crowds, and they got to witness something special, which was really cool too.
I still follow the league as much as possible, and it was really cool to see the crowds and see the photos from Altona and, you know, how many people turned out, even just to watch baseball that isn't part of a regular season, but still getting a chance to see their team and see you guys play against Adelaide. And for the headline of all headlines, Genevieve, that's you. And I said when we started recording, you're maybe the most discussed person in this sport right now. And I could tell you got a little bashful, and I would imagine that feels very strange to hear. It's been 10 days now, 11 days since you made your professional pitching debut as the first woman to ever pitch in an ABL game. What have the last 10 days been like for you?
It's been crazy, you know. Before I pitched, you know, I was just, you know, a 17-year-old, and now the whole baseball world, it feels like, knows me, and it's crazy because, you know, I go to sleep at night and I'm still the same person, but, you know, I've had all these interviews and all this publicity, but it's just been absolutely crazy.
It's such a great story, obviously, for sports fans at large, but for baseball fans, it's something that's so different because we're in this moment right now where women's baseball, I think, is having a moment with how the expansion of the Women's World Cup is growing, with, you know, the hiring of Rachel Balcovic as a minor league manager as of last week, the New York Yankees system, and coaches that are being added across the sport. This is super cool right now, and you get to be somebody who is part of that moment. For you, I know a few weeks ago you signed as a developmental player with the Aces. What was the conversation like of, all right, we're going to get you into game action? How did that whole process go along?
So pretty much I was just at training, you know, I was training with the Aces Academy, which is kind of just an academy that Baseball Victoria runs. It's not actually associated with the Melbourne Aces really, but I was pitching out there and Pete watched me 1 week and then he came out the next and then he gave me the offer of playing with the Aces as a developmental player. And, you know, I couldn't believe it. You know, the opportunity to play for my hometown was absolutely amazing. You know, I grew up watching all these guys and Jared Cruz. I remember I did so many holiday clinics with him, and just to be given the offer to play was amazing.
I worked in the ABL in the inaugural season. So now to hear kids 11, 12 years later say, oh, I watched all these guys growing up makes me feel extraordinarily old. But that's a good thing. And that's what you're trying to build with a league down there in inspiring the next generation of athletes and of fans and of all of that. And since we are a baseball specific podcast, I'm going to avoid asking you all of the questions that you've answered a billion times of how'd you get into baseball? Why not softball? Blah, blah, blah. Genevieve's story is one in which she loves baseball. And I want to ask you about what you are as a ball player now. It's funny, when your video first blew up the night of your appearance, one of my buddies who I've worked with in baseball all the time said her mechanics are identical to Tyler Matzek, who just won a World Series with the Atlanta Braves. Is there anybody who you watching growing up thought, okay, I'm going to try to emulate my delivery, emulate that in my delivery, or anything that, you know, from a presence on the mound or that type of stuff you've really kind of taken from the people that you've watched?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't tried to.
Not me, you can tell that.
It's a much different delivery. You're not scooping dirt up as you deal in.
No, but I haven't really tried to, you know, copy exactly a pitcher's mechanics, but definitely someone I look at a lot is Jacob DeGrom. You know, that guy's unbelievable. He can just throw so hard and look like he's not putting any effort into it at all. So definitely Jacob DeGrom. And, you know, Gerrit Cole's probably my favorite pitcher, and just watching him on the mound, every time he gets up there, it just looks like he knows that no one's going to get a hit off him. So definitely looking at his mound presence is something that I think I've subconsciously taken on board. I haven't looked at any players and be like, I want to be exactly like them. It's just kind of, you know, watching it, you kind of pick up things that players do.
You've got a guy sitting to your right who has pitched in a ton of big league games over the course of his career. And you get to work not only with your manager and Peter Moylan, but you've got a pitching coach and Graham Lloyd who won some World Series titles. And you've got a general manager and Justin Huber who was in the big leagues as well. What does that mean to you when you get to have conversations with people who have been at the highest level of the game and you can kind of bounce things off of them and learn, all right, if I'm in this situation, what am I doing here? Like, how much has that helped you over these first few weeks as a pro ball player?
Definitely. I mean, it's been great just to be around coaches with so much experience, and, you know, you can trust that they know what they're talking about and they only want to help you get better as a ball player. And, you know, it's only been a couple of weeks, but I'm definitely looking forward to working with them more because, you know, they have so much baseball knowledge and experience. It's really great.
We met one time, me and Peter Moylan, in spring training like 4 or 5 years ago. But Moylo is such a great nickname that I'm just going to pretend like we've been friends for 30 years and I'm going to call him Moylo. Let me ask you this question. When you first saw Genevieve pitch, and obviously her track record goes back years now working in Baseball Victoria stuff and at the youth levels and all that and in local leagues. When you watched her deal for the first time, I know the conversation came pretty quickly from your end. Like, we got to figure out how to get her on the roster and get her in games. What did you see from a talent and a pitching evaluation standpoint?
I saw someone that deserved to be on the team. It didn't matter what gender or whether she was a girl or a boy. I saw someone that was, and it wasn't just one out. It wasn't just one bullpen. I watched her throw a bullpen, and then I went out and watched her pitch in the local league the next weekend, where she actually threw against my old team. So I knew the standard that she was pitching against, and I was impressed with what she did then. And then she came back out, she threw a bullpen the next week, and I turned to John Diebel and I said, look, we have to figure this out because she deserves to be on the team. And then there was a lot of discussions after that, but the initial decision was easily, it was easy to make. It was just, I saw her pitch and she deserved to be on the team. That's as simple as it gets.
Her repertoire is so good too. And Genevieve, we're going to talk about you, like you're not here for a second, but a fastball that, you know, touches low 80s, a breaking ball that I saw referred to as a Bugs Bunny curve, which is like the highest compliment that you can get as a 17 year old for a curveball to be already that developed. I mean, if this was a high school pitcher in the States, we'd be talking about like, wow, that kid's going to college and going to play somewhere very prestigious. How impressive is the level already of talent and command with not only the actual stuff on the mound, but mound presence, the ability to work such an effective inning against Adelaide?
Now, I'm not sure if you watched the whole inning, but there was a couple of instances where she could have got out of the inning with a couple of good defensive plays. Even the first base runner was on because of an error.
Right.
So that in itself shows me that she's ready to pitch at this level, because it's not always going to be 1, 2, 3, you're in and out. She dealt with so much traffic as it was for her first outing. So I know that nothing's going to phase her when she's out there. But from a stuff point of view, it's there already. Just as a bit of perspective, I signed back in 1996 throwing 84 miles an hour. That was how hard I threw as a boy, 17 years old, and that got me signed. So we move ahead a couple of years, obviously, and now she's throwing 84, 85, and it's, if it was 20 years ago, she'd be signing a professional contract now at this age. So correct me if I'm wrong, but you just got in the weight room last year. So she's just starting to lift. She's just starting to get her strength under her and learn how to pitch with that new strength too. So I just want it to be a situation where she gets to move through the levels of baseball at her own pace, going wherever she wants to, and then making decisions herself, whether that's college, whether that's professional, whether it's getting on into one of these independent labs and getting on a biometric, you know, machine and seeing if we can do it that way. Like, there's so many options for her. I just hope that we choose the right ones, or she chooses the right ones. But I'm going to be here to help whenever she needs my help anyway.
Jennifer, take me through kind of the nerves of that moment. When you first get the ball, you first go to the mound. I would imagine that was a surreal sort of out-of-body experience. What was that like?
Yeah, so I came in from the bullpen, you know, and I got up there and I threw my first pitch straight into the back net. So
it's looking good. I felt good at that stage. I was feeling confident.
That's a Nuke LaLoosh moment. That's just Bull Durham just acting out a classic scene in cinematic history.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, I definitely had some nerves, but after I threw that first one, you know, I felt a whole lot better, I can tell you that. I was nervous though, I won't lie. It was I get nervous before every game, but you know, I think it was just amplified due to the fact that, you know, I had a huge crowd. Like, I haven't seen that kind of crowd in 3 years because of COVID.
Right.
And you know, I haven't really had that game environment either, also due to COVID. So I think that definitely contributed to the nerves that I had. But you know, after a couple of pitches, I was comfortable and it just felt like any other game.
That's the amazing thing to me. Whenever you talk with, you know, players who, especially pitchers who have pitched in big environments, it's always, once I threw that first one, when warmups are over, an umpire marks, you know, that inning ready to start, as soon as that first one's out of my arm, everything's normal. Did you kind of lock into that point? Could you sort of forget about the crowd and just focus on signals and this guy's coming up and here's how I'm going to attack him and all that?
Definitely. I mean, as soon as you get those first couple warm-up pitches in and you get to the batter, it's like you're focused. Like, I couldn't tell you how many people were in the crowd or how much they cheered when I was throwing every pitch, because it just kind of
was a lot. Cheered a lot.
I just kind of zone out, you know, and I did it at the Senior League Nationals when I pitched there. I can remember my warm-up. I can remember us celebrating the win, but I can't tell you anything about the three outs that I got in between.
When you are able to get out of that inning, you face a little bit of base traffic, and you get out of the inning. When you finally get into the dugout and take a seat, do you digest that moment then, or was it kind of you waited until post-game and you could really kind of start to go through, oh, yeah, I just did that?
Definitely. I mean, I had a couple guys congratulate me and the coaches congratulate me, but definitely it wasn't until like after the game and I like looked at my phone that I kind of realized what had happened, because my phone was, it was blowing up and I was like, oh my God, it was crazy.
Could you have ever imagined what this would be. This is like, based on, you know, what I've seen on social media, this is like your 12,000th media engagement over the last week and a half. Could you have ever imagined what this was going to be like?
No, I think if you told me 3 weeks ago, you know, at a training session, that, you know, MLB Network and SportsCenter and all these crazy social media platforms were going to post about me, I probably would have just laughed at you. You know, I wouldn't have believed you.
What is the coolest thing that you know, like you said, you've been MLB Network, SportsCenter, you're in the New York Times. To me, I think the coolest thing, and I can tell that it's embarrassing you even talking about it, which is a good sign for a humble young athlete. To me, if I were you, I think the coolest thing is the Aces are selling your jersey now, which is incredible. Like, what's the coolest thing been from your perspective?
It's still Luke Jackson quote tweeting my pitching performance. You know, I can't believe it still, you know, as a Braves fan, it's just like the best thing ever.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Moilo, when you get a chance to see somebody who you have seen in a training setting or even in a game setting at a lower level, when you put him out there on the mound in an ABL game for the first time, I would imagine there's, you know, probably a little bit of nerves when it's a young player, 17 years old, going in to play pro ball. I mean, the ABL is, you know, nearly a double A equivalent league for fans of minor league baseball in the United States. Putting a 17 year old in double A doesn't happen. So to put a 17 year old out on the mound, I would think there probably comes some nerves with that. What was it like for you watching as she got through that inning and then got back into the dugout?
Well, initially it was awful. There was so much tension in that dugout between the coaches, just for sheer nerves. And because I didn't want anything bad to happen, you know, it took a big step for us to be like, okay, we want Genevieve on the team. But then all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, what if she goes out there and someone hits a line drive straight back at her? And you're like, now that's all on me. I wasn't worried about the results. I was just worried about something looking bad, and it ended up being a bad situation. But the minute she threw the first couple pitches, I was like, okay, this is going to be fine. And then when she
after
got some
the one in the backstop.
Correct. After she got some weak contact, I was like, okay, well, she's ready for this. She's ready. I didn't even have somebody warming up in the bullpen when she got in a little bit of trouble. I thought, she's going to get through this. It'll be fine. And there were some big guys coming up too. So, you know, there was a couple of Donald Lutz was coming up. So former Major League Baseball player. Yeah, exactly. There were some big bats coming up, but I had all the faith in the world in it.
What, as a manager, as a pitching coach, as a guy who spent so much time in the big leagues, if you had to write a scouting report on what Genevieve does well on the mound, what stands out most about what makes her successful?
Her ability to throw her off-speed pitches. Her curveball's going to be really good. It's already good now. It's going to be really good as she obviously learns how to command it and throw it whenever she wants to. But for me, it's just the ability to repeat her mechanics. And I think that's going to obviously set her up really well. As she gets stronger, the mechanics are already crisp and pure. So she's going to just get stronger, be able to throw harder, get more whip on and more spin on the breaking balls. Everything's going to move forward at a rate from this stage, I think. So I just can't wait to see what happens in the next 12 to 18 months.
Genevieve, when you we're kind of getting toward this stage in your career. I know, you know, your brother played college baseball in the U.S. and that's something that you've talked about as being a route that you maybe wanted to pursue. And now it's, you know, from the story I read in the New York Times, some indie league teams from the U.S. have already contacted you to see about signing and to be able to go the collegiate route. I know is something that would be a big step for you. What is the exploration of that like now? I mean, we have had over the last several years in college baseball in the U.S., a lot of women have played collegiately in the States, and it's becoming more and more of a recognized thing. What is that next step for you now? And especially knowing that, you know, you're kind of, there was Monet Davis a few years ago, and now here's Genevieve Beacom, who's making an impact in the baseball world. What are those next steps?
Definitely going to college. So, you know, getting some video out to coaches, and I mean, it's been done, you know, the publicity's helped, but
there is some video of you out there. That is true.
Getting some more out and, you know, probably just contacting coaches and actually having that conversation about, you know, probably scholarship money and stuff like that is, I think just getting more serious with talk is something that is going to happen in the next year or so as I finish high school.
the asset of being a lefty is huge too in this spot. And, you know, as your manager said, when he was 17, he was throwing mid 80s. He was getting looks professionally, being 17, throwing mid 80s as a lefty, whereas things have evolved, you know, in the velocity side of things and all that, that's still going to get you a lot of looks. What do you think is, as you learn and grow and develop as a left-handed pitcher, what do you think you can use most lethally against hitters? Are you most excited to develop your breaking stuff or command, or obviously learning and repeating mechanics is a challenge for any pitcher anywhere, but what most excites you about what you can develop next?
Definitely developing my pitches more is something I want to do. Like I can throw a changeup, but you know, throwing it in every count and being able to throw my off speed in every count is something that I really want to do more of and develop as I progress.
I think the most exciting is going to be the velocity increase.
Right.
She's already increased her velocity by 14 miles an hour since, I think, this time last year or the year before. So, yeah, it's as things start to develop, that's what I'm looking forward to. Which, if she can, you know, sort of come back and consistently sit 87, 88, then we're talking domination with the other pitches she's got.
That is amazing. And especially to be at this stage in your development as a pitcher and to be able to access, you know, people who have been there before from your manager and your pitching coach, or your GM and all of that, that input is so important too. And, you know, we are a podcast that covers baseball and softball on the international game side of things. And so I do have to ask you some of the questions that I'm sure you've answered a million times. I know you said that you've gotten message on social media from younger girls. And it's so funny to say to somebody who's 17, like, what does it mean to know you're affecting the kids out there? But really, like, to be an inspiration for young kids, and especially young girls who are into baseball, what does that mean to you to be doing that at 17?
I mean, it's a privilege. Like, it's an absolute honor, but it's also so crazy to me that, you know, there's girls like 11, 10, 12 year olds that look at me and, you know, they want to be like me. Like, there was this post put out the other day and I was like, who's going to be the next Genevieve Beacom?
That's so cool. That is so cool.
It's amazing.
Like, it's so surreal, but, you know, it's also amazing because, you know, growing up, I never really had any major, like, girls in baseball that I could really look up to. You know, I had the ones around Victoria, but I never knew of many big names throughout the world. Like, I remember I was in under-12s and hearing about Monet Davis, and that was, like, the greatest thing ever, hearing about her pitch in the Little League World Series. And I think it's great that there's more role models coming about now, because that's something I really wish I had at a young age.
That is awesome. And to be somebody who can be that for younger kids, I can't imagine how cool that feels for you now.
Yeah, it's so surreal. I mean, just having like little girls come up to me and their parents being like, you know, you mean so much to my child, like she's playing baseball because of you, she quit but she's back now. It's such a surreal experience, and it's so great to know that, you know, I mean, 3 weeks ago, I wasn't known by so many people, but now, like, so many young girls look up to me, and I think it's great. And, you know, it's also great how social media can be used so well.
Yeah. Just a quick message to those people that are trying to push back negatively too. This is going to happen. So
yep.
Either adapt now, or you're going to have to adapt in the future, because this isn't something that's going to be a fly by the seat of the pants, fly by the night thing. There's more girls coming. So get ready.
And on that note, since we are the podcast of international baseball, we got the U18 Baseball World Cup coming up later on this year in Bradenton in Sarasota, Florida. And I would think you've got more than an inside track now to be on that Australian national team. Is that something you've thought about from a standpoint of like, oh, I could be wearing my country's name across my chest and competing on the biggest stage of the international games at certain age levels?
Definitely. I mean, I went to the under-18 camp last year before, you know, I got postponed and everything. So playing in that World Cup is definitely something I really want to do. You know, last year was like, it was an amazing camp to go to, and it was like such a great resource. But I definitely want to, you know, make that team and trial for it, because it'd be such an honor.
What about from, and just a couple more and I'll let you guys get out of here. I know you got a busy day, but from the standpoint of, and obviously this is a couple years off, but the Women's Baseball World Cup, regional play, group play will be in 2023. And then in 2024, we'll have the next edition of the Women's World Cup. if you were a person who was kind of a centerpiece to potentially have a team built around for that next generation, how cool would that be to be at the level where you are, you know, even by that point, if you're 19 or whatever it is, you could be the star of that Australian national team.
That would be crazy, you know. I don't really have any words, you know, it's a couple years away, but, you know, it's so surreal because 2019, I went to that camp in Bendigo playing with all the Emeralds, and I wrote this note on a card that I got with all these girls that played in the 2016 World Cup, and I got them to like sign it and everything. And then in 2019, I was playing with them, and it's amazing what can happen in a couple of years.
That is so awesome. Moilo, for a manager who has been in basically every baseball situation that is conceivable, to see something like this, do you remember anything in your career that rivals, obviously, you know, the media requests and the focus and all of that? I can't imagine that you've come across a situation, especially in the ABL, that has been anything like this.
Definitely not. And definitely not some, I mean, if there has been some negative attention, but definitely nothing that's so positive. This has been as good a story as you're going to find. And to be part of it and to have a major role in it, it's been an honor for me.
You guys got a fire alarm? What's going on here?
I've got a fire alarm going. Yeah. Every time we do one of these, there's a fire alarm going off. I think it's just messing with us.
I was going to say, I guess.
He needs the room and he wants us to get out. So
that's somebody cutting us. They're like, get that dude out of here. He's a hanger on from the Blue Sox in 2010, 2011. We're gonna wrap this thing up. But I just want to, you know, get a last couple of questions in. When you now get to look forward to the remainder of 2022, what is, because again, not working in a regular season type of atmosphere with the ABL and all that, what's the immediate thing that you do next? Obviously, you've got great people with the aces that you can work with. What is kind of the next task that you get to tackle now?
This year I'm going into year 12, so I think school's gonna be a huge thing.
Much better answer. I'm like, what about baseball? And you're like, I'm a high school senior. Like, oh right, okay, right.
Yeah, just and balancing school with baseball is a huge thing as well, because, you know, as Moilo said, I've got to get stronger and I got to get bigger. So definitely those two things are my immediate goals for this year.
And pass high school.
High school. That'd probably be a big thing too. You know, for all the college scholarships.
I can do it. Anyone can do it. I still can't tell you what a noun or a valve is. A valve or a vowel. A noun, pronoun, you name them.
A valve, like in a mechanic school too, that too. Yeah, exactly. That sort of thing. And Moilo, I think you said it perfectly, that this is certainly not the first and way far from the last. And this is a situation that is so exciting for baseball fans across the globe. And anybody who has reacted negatively, the world is leaving you behind. And that's a great thing for all of us who are so excited to see something like this. It has been so cool to get a chance to catch up with you two, Genevieve Beacom and Peter Moylan from Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, and the Melbourne Aces. Best of luck in the remainder of this summer and moving forward. And once you graduate high school, we'll get to watch you over here playing college ball somewhere. But I'll try to remember, if I'm interviewing teenagers going forward, I got to remember, oh yeah, they're still in school. They have to do those things first.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thanks for the time, guys. Fantastic story and a fantastic conversation. And again, just our biggest thanks to Genevieve Beacom and to Peter Moylan for making some time for us here in the WBSC Global Game Podcast. As soon as we got done recording, Moilo picked up the laptop and kind of turned around and showed me they had TV set lights and cameras in their little media room behind home plate at the ballpark there in Altona. And it is so cool to get a chance to have a conversation with Genevieve and with her manager today. If you have not gotten a chance to watch the video of Genevieve's outing, you can find it pretty much anywhere on the internet. It is all over social media. The Melbourne Aces posted the full video of her outing. WBSC, we had a story on her outing as well. And it has been shared far and wide. And that was pretty funny when she said, yeah, I mean, I'd like to get some video out there to scouts. I think, yeah, most people have probably seen it by this point. But what an amazing story and a fantastic young athlete who's got a great head on her shoulders and somebody who is obviously very dedicated to the next step in her baseball career. And whether it happens in Australia in the ABL or it happens in a collegiate league somewhere here in the United States, you will you'll know the name Genevieve Beacom if you don't already know it. There is a lot of fun stuff coming from the young left-hander from Australia coming up soon. And we could see her on the international stage coming up real soon. Of course, one of the events that we are set to roll out here in 2022, the U18 Baseball World Cup, which is set to be hosted in the United States in Sarasota and Bradenton, Florida, at the spring training homes of the Baltimore Orioles and the Pittsburgh Pirates, the major league organizations here in the United States. That event is set for September 9th to the 18th of 2022. And one would think, as I said, we will see Genevieve Beacom on Australia's roster for that U18 Baseball World Cup. And what an exciting moment that would be for all of us here at WBSC and for everybody attending that event coming up in September. Man, it just makes me so excited for this 2022 calendar of international baseball and softball events. So that will do it for this month's edition of the Global Game Podcast from WBSC. Again, massive thanks to Genevieve and to Peter Moylan for joining us. A huge thanks to the Melbourne Aces for making that happen, and Alan Rostoviak from WBSC for putting in all the legwork to book that interview. He said, you might have to do it at like 4 a.m. your time. And I said, hey, man, I'm into it. If we can get that interview, I'm excited to do it. It wasn't that time of night. He saved me from having to wake up that early. But for everybody who was able to get this interview together, so thrilled to get a chance to help tell Genevieve's story a little bit. And tremendous thanks to all of them. And as always, a tremendous thanks to all of you for tuning in. My name is Tyler Mon, and we'll talk to you next time on the Global Game from WBSC.